we going to believe in separation or will we not? We need to settle this. You can't spend your whole Holy Ghost life praying about whether this is wrong or this is right or this is wrong or this is right. Or you hear it preached, you hear it taught, and then you're going to go pray about it for 10 years before you start understanding that you need to make some changes in your vocabulary. You need to clean out your refrigerator. Somebody, you need to clean out your wardrobe. Somebody, you need to stop going some of the places you go. You can't go 10 years in the Holy Ghost trying to pray about this, pray about that. You see it in the Word of God. You've got to settle some of these issues. The Lord said, I'm holy, so be holy. I don't want to sound arrogant or flippant or cocky, but I'm just going to say this. What is so hard about getting the fact that God commands holiness? I'll tell you what's hard about it. It goes against our flesh. It goes against our flesh, and it's hard to crucify flesh. But we must. We must, if we're going to be right with God, for no man shall see the Lord without holiness. How are we doing? So let's settle this issue once and for all. Let's just put it to rest. I'm going to be holy. I may make mistakes. Listen, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about being holy. And I might make mistakes and I might stumble and I might say something every once in a while I shouldn't say. I might think thoughts I shouldn't think. I might find myself stumbling and falling. But when I do, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to get back in the Word and I'm going to get back in the Holy Ghost and I'm going to get back with God. Come on, somebody. I said, I'm going to live a holy life, a separated life. And if I fall, I'll get up and get back to it. If I stumble, I'll get up and I'll get back to it. If I make a mistake, I'll get up. Devil, don't rejoice against me too long because I will not stay down. I will arise and I will serve my God in holiness. And Peter says we are, watch this, a peculiar people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're peculiar. You don't have to say it like that. The Greek means a, now watch this, it doesn't mean necessarily weird. They did not just insult you any more than Peter insulted us. You're a peculiar people. Some of you ran across the church to find somebody. What was up with that? Here's what the Greek means. A people, watch this, for a possession. That is as pertaining to God. They are a people which he has secured as a possession or as his own. A people, therefore, which belong to him and no other. In this sense, we are special as being his. And being such, it may be inferred that we should be special in the sense of being unlike. Would you say unlike? Unlike others. We're unique in our manner of life. We don't live like everybody else. We don't say that with pride. We say that with humble acceptance to the Word of God. We won't be like everybody else. So let me make real quickly 2 points and then I'm done. This is going to shock you of how short-winded I am tonight. Actually, I've preached longer than I anticipated already. Point number one is this. If we are his people and we belong to God, then that means he is the master. He is the potter. He is in charge. Doesn't it? So stop trying to tell God how you want to serve him. Hey, pot, stop telling the potter how to make you. And just let him work on you. Vessel, stop telling the creator what to do. And just let him do it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and watch him form you and make you and shape you and fashion you into just exactly what he wants you to be. And really, what you want to be. If I belong to Him, if He is my master, then I don't question Him. I don't argue with Him. I don't debate with Him. I serve Him. I serve Him. We are His. Somebody say, I am His. I'm talking about, I know who I am. We used to sing a song, haven't sang it for a long time. I know who I am. 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 I am yours. That's who we are. I am yours. I was running and He found me. I was lost and He saved me. I was in trouble and He brought me in. I was out and He brought me in. Aren't you thankful for the power of God that changes your life? We ought to give the Lord a mighty hand clap of praise right now. Lord, I'm yours. Come on, somebody. I don't even want to belong to somebody else. I don't want to serve the devil. I don't want to serve the world. I don't want to serve sin. I want to serve God. Amen. That makes sense, doesn't it? Point number two. If we are unique, then, and I've said this recently, but let me say it again. If we are unique, and Peter says we are, and you just told each other that you were, then listen, church, if you are, then stop worrying about fitting in this world. You don't, you won't, you shouldn't, and if you're getting this thing right, you can't. Amen. Ladies, young ladies, don't emulate the fashion models of the world. They show too much. Young men, don't emulate all of the rock stars and the movie stars that are talking certain ways and acting certain ways, cutting their hair certain ways, wearing certain things. That's not who you are. You won't fit in with that culture. We won't look like them. We won't sound like them. Stop trying to talk like them. Stop trying to dress. I'm just saying, if you are, come on now. You don't need to talk like, you don't need to talk, what's the wrestling federation that's famous? WWF, something like that? WWE? That's not who you are. No, I'm not saying you're going to hell if you know who those people are. My grandkids are, they went through this phase. My grandsons went through this phase. I mean, my oldest two grandsons, not Lennox and Lyndon. They went through this phase where, man, we'd be driving down the road, and it's like, okay, guys, we got to change the subject here. Papa, do you know so-and-so who is? Or who so-so is? No, I don't. Well, you know what their move is? No, I don't even know who they are. I don't know what their move is. Well, their move is this and that. And, man, wow. All right. I don't want my grandkids growing up thinking that's who they are. We don't talk like that. We don't act like that. We don't dress like that. That's not our culture. That's not our lifestyle. So if you're emulating those things in the world, just stop that, because that's not who we are. So, you know, if our music starts getting too close to that kind of stuff, my daughter and I were just having a conversation today on the way home from church, and she was talking about they went to Kings Island to the worship fest thing. I don't remember what they called it yesterday, but she said, Dad, we went to hear so-and-so, and because we really like so-and-so, but they weren't there. They were supposed to open. They ended up, never even came up, and they brought out this kind of a heavy rock Christian band, and said, I couldn't even understand what they were saying. Listen, folks, can I just help you a little bit here? Not everything that has the word Christian in front of it. Don't you understand the devil can come like an angel of light? And when they get up there screaming, and it sounds like the world, listen, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, you might as well go ahead and assume it might be a duck. Some of that stuff's not worth letting in your ears. I don't care if it does have the word Christian in front of it. Those, you don't even know the lyrics they're singing. You don't even know what they're saying behind all that heavy metal music. So be careful with that. I'm just telling you, if we sound too much like them, we might have a problem. We're in it, but we're not of it. We're a peculiar people. We've been brought out. We will not fit in with that culture. And so these people that say, well, you know, you've got to act like them to win them. No, 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 no. You've got it all wrong. People that need to be won need to be won from something. And they want a better culture. They want a better lifestyle. They want something different than they already have. Amen. So we just got to be careful. We've turned, when I say we, I don't mean apostolic necessarily, but maybe some, that we've turned our churches into concert halls and we've turned our pulpits into little teaching stations that we try to relate and be relevant to everybody because we don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. We don't want people to feel too churchy, you know. What are we trying to do? We're trying to fit in with the wrong culture. See, I'm going to tell you, when the world is looking for a church, they're going to look for a churchy church. I mean, when they really want saved. They're not going to just go to another concert hall that says worship center or praise center or whatever on the sign. They're going to look for a church where the power of God is still strong. And let me tell you, when you get desperate for God, you don't care if they're singing new songs or old songs. You don't care if the music's great or so-so. You don't care if they can harmonize or no. You don't care about all that junk. Whenever you really are looking for God, you can get saved to Amazing Grace just like you can any of the new songs. You can get saved to a new song just like you can Amazing Grace. I'm just saying, as long as it's in the Lord, I just want to have church. Amen. So we're not going to look like them. We're not going to talk like them. We're not going to sound like them. We're not going to fit in with them. You will go to school and you will stand out because you're a peculiar people. That's all right. That's all right. You'll go to work and you won't fit in with everybody there because you're a peculiar people. And that's all right. You'll go through the day, you'll go to your shopping centers, you'll go to your workout centers, you'll go to your restaurants, you'll go to the Walmart, wherever you go. You're not going to fit in with everybody. You won't laugh at the same jokes, you won't tell the same stories, you won't watch the same stuff, you won't listen to the same music, you just won't. They will start talking about things that you will not relate to, they will lose you. It's not because they're over your head, it's because they're in a different culture. And so I'm saying to the church, relax and get comfortable in your skin that you've been called to. You are the body of Christ. That's good. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and come up, if you would, musicians and singers. So if we're His people, we belong to God. And if we are unique, then we need to stop worrying about fitting in. We won't. And He says that you're all of these things. He says you are. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I'm not sad that I'm not in the world. Listen, if you're in the world, please don't pity me that I can't drink. I'll tell you a little secret. I can drink all I want to drink. This is United States of America, and I'm over 21 by a few years. I got enough money in my pocket to go buy all the beer I want to buy. I don't refrain from drinking because I can't drink. I don't drink because that's not my culture anymore. Don't pity me because I can't go to the the bars or the concerts that you go to. Don't pity me because I can't party. I can do all those things. So can you. You can do all those things. But his restraining grace. I'm his. And so he says, Peter says, he's brought you out. He's done all of these things, not so you can complain. Oh, living for God is so hard. Be quiet. Stop. Quit that junk. You got a bad spirit. Oh, being in the church is so hard. You don't even know. Stop it. You're endangering souls when you talk that way. You've missed the mark somewhere when you talk this way. Peter says, you're chosen, you're royal, you're peculiar. That you should complain? No. That you should begrudge? Not at all. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of that culture into this culture, out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we come into the house of God with praises on our lips, a dance in our step. Come on, somebody. We come and worship God because I'm not what I used to be. And I'm going to show forth the praises of him. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. If you're in the church, clap. If you're in the body of Christ, rejoice right now. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar people. You are a holy nation. You've been brought out so you can show forth the praises of him. Hishaya. Hikaya boboro. Hila boboro toshaya. Aren't you glad you're in the body of Christ? Hallelujah. Let's sing. Let's worship the Lord. If you're here tonight, you want to pray. This altar's open. We want to pray with you to receive the Holy Ghost. If you want to be baptized, we want to baptize you in the name of Jesus. But we're going to worship the Lord for a little while.
I live to worship you.
I live to worship you.
That's who we are. We're worshipers.
To worship you.
Show forth the praises of him.
I live to worship you,
Lord. Could you raise your hands and sing this to the Lord?
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
Whoa. Whoa. somebody nearby you needs you to pray for them. Why don't we connect with one another right now? Hands on a shoulder, holding hands if you want to hold hands. Just connect, just touch the body of Christ, touching the body of Christ, lifting one another up in prayer right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's pray for one another. Let's pray for one another, church. Come on, Lord, your blessings, your strength, your encouragement, your power. Lord, I pray for husbands and wives. I pray for men and women tonight, Lord. I pray for sisters and brothers. I pray for children. I pray for our young people. God, that need to feel your power, need your strength in this hour, Lord, in which we live. Oh, God, make us to be the body of Christ that you so desire. Cleanse us. Mold us. Make us. Touch us, Lord. Oh, we need you, Jesus. Cleanse us, and we pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, that's it. I feel the Holy Ghost moving. Come on, would you let the Holy Ghost bless you right now? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost, do a work right now on your, on the body of Christ. Do a work. Bless, encourage, strengthen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Time, would you? Lord, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We give you praise right now, Lord, because you are worthy and we love you. We magnify your holy name. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. I'm going to ask y'all can be seated too. Angie's going to come. I understand that there is a presentation to be.
I need for Sister Hawkins to stand up here awkwardly while I talk about her. I can tell you lots of stuff. Okay, it's her 50th birthday, Wednesday. I didn't mean right now, but this is for her 50th birthday. And Sister Vedas asked me if I would say a few things for my sister's birthday. And I wanted to read something in Proverbs 31. I won't read the whole chapter unless you want me to. I have it here. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Number 16 says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. And then I wanted to read 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And in my commentary it said, the city gates were the place where the esteemed elders or leaders of the community gathered for discussion, decision, and judgment. The husband of the virtuous woman is so blessed by her wisdom and diligence that he was well thought of among the wise. And I thought of the things that I could tell you about our pastor's wife. Sorry, I'm going to cry. I'm either laughing or crying. That make her, in my opinion, and hopefully yours too, a virtuous woman. I really appreciate the way, and as you grow older, you think about things a little more deeply. And if we think about it, she's not territorial of her husband. And that's really important for a pastor's wife, because you have to share your husband a lot, and a lot of women probably wouldn't do that very well. So we appreciate the way that you share your husband. I'm sure there's people talking to him after service and wanting to talk to him in the office, and she has to share him a lot. I'm thankful that she's not moody or needy, but she's pretty even-tempered in her conduct and holy conduct. She doesn't crave attention. You don't see her up here trying to be showy or get attention all the time, and we need to appreciate that. She's modest in her dress. She doesn't flaunt. She doesn't spend extra money on her expensive clothes. And as a matter of fact, I think you were a Goodwill frequent shopper, weren't you? So we appreciate that. She's prudent in her financial matters. She looks for a bargain, as I said. She's hardworking and she's faithful. She's a faithful employee. She's worked 24 years at Dr. Arnold's office, a dentist office. She's honest and kind. She's faithful to God's house and her family. She's been married for 32 years to the same person. We're thankful for that. She's loyal to her friends and family and her church family, and she has a good reputation. Now on to the good stuff. She gets my sense of humor, and if you don't, I'm really sorry. When we were younger, I remember we were at, I think it was Kmart, that's my favorite store too, and we were at Kmart, and this was back in the day when everybody got a whooping, so it's not really a big deal. But she was begging for a doll, and my dad gave her the choice to make a decision. Do you want a whooping and the doll, or do you just want to go home? She chose the whooping and the doll. And I think she got it. Did she get it? I know she got the whipping. I don't know if she got the doll or not.
She got the whipping in the Kmart parking lot.
Oh, she got the whipping. It was okay back then, and we didn't even know that was child abuse. It's all right. We fought over a lot of things, and I saw some siblings fighting today. There is hope. We fought a lot. We got home from school, and we had our five, I'm sorry if you don't believe in TV, but we had TV. And one of the things we fought about was she wanted to watch The Brady Bunch, and I wanted to watch Big Valley. And we fought almost, I don't know how we chose. I guess it was who beat each other up the most. We got to watch it. But I did know everything. As soon as the first sentence came out of The Brady Bunch mouth, we knew the whole rest of the show. So I think she might have got to win a little bit more often than I did. We were a lot different. She was more of a tomboy. I think that's fair to say. She liked to be outside, and I liked to play with my dolls and listen to my music. And we did fight, but I don't remember being jealous of one another ever. Do you think? I don't think we were ever jealous of each other. It was little petty things that we got into fights about. And she's tougher than me, but if someone messed with my sister, I had her back. I was right behind her, encouraging her to beat him up. So we did have a loyalty, and we still do. In our family, we are a very loyal family. We don't get into arguments too much anymore, but if we did, we'd still celebrate the holidays together because that's your family and that's what you do. And I know that she feels the same way about her church family. Your family is your family. When your family's doing well, you're doing well. When your family gets blessed, you get blessed. And when they're hurting, you hurt. And I'm thankful for that relationship. And I just wanted to say, this is from the ladies of the church. Happy 50th birthday to my sister. Happy birthday.
We'll hug you.
And you guys are you're supposed to sit on the front row and watch a video now.
Oh, okay.
So let me tell you. And Sister Vedas has put together a video, so they're going to sit on the front row, Brother and Sister Hawkins, and watch a video.
I just want to say thank you to everyone. It's so kind of you. Everything you guys do for us, I really appreciate it. When I saw that my sister was coming up here, and I did get a little nervous. Some of you have been at the Christmas banquets where she likes to make fun of people. But it was very kind. Thank you, Angie. We shared a room for the first 16 years. It was a pretty small bedroom that we shared, so it's a wonder that we're both still alive. And I was always a lot bigger than her. She is older. But I was always a lot bigger than her, so everybody always thought I was the oldest. But anyway, I just want to thank you all, and I thank God for 50 years on this earth. So my husband, I said, I think really age doesn't bother me a whole lot. Haven't really thought about like 30, 40, 50. I said, you're kind of thinking, wow, 50, you know, that. I don't know that number, but I said, well, it is what it is. I mean, you know, thank God that I'm here for 50 years. So thank you all.
I'm outside of...
I want to say thank you for honoring my wife. So blessed. I am so blessed to have a virtuous woman. Whenever Angie was texting me with some questions about what's your wife's favorite song, and I thought her favorite church song, and I don't know. she likes so many songs. I don't know that she's ever told me, but anyway, when Abigail woke up from her nap, I asked her, and she goes, "I don't really know, but she really likes this song." And I listened to the words, and I want to share this with you about my wife, because I think this epitomizes her so well. And the song is He Knows My Name. And the song says, "Spent today in a conversation in the mirror face to face with somebody less than perfect. I wouldn't choose me first if I was looking for a champion. In fact, I'd understand if you picked everyone before me. But that's just not my story. True to who you are, you saw my heart and made something out of nothing. I don't need my name in lights. I'm famous in my Father's eyes. Make no mistake, He knows my name. I'm not living for applause. I'm already so adored. It's all his stage. He knows my name. I'm not meant to just stay quiet. I'm meant to be a lion. I'll roar beyond a song with every moment that I've got. True to who you are, you saw my heart and made something out of nothing. I don't need my name in lights. I'm famous in my Father's eyes." Part of the song says, he calls me chosen, free, forgiven, wanted, child of the King, his forever held in treasure. I am loved." I think that's a pretty neat song for her. It really is. Thank you so much for honoring her tonight. Listen, remember that Kaylee is having part two of her fundraiser tonight. She raised all but how much? She needs another $100 to have her Real McCoy status. And so come on over. If you're going to eat, come on over and have a hamburger, hot dog, something over there, and enjoy some fellowship. God bless you. We love you. We won't see you Wednesday night. I'm taking my wife away for her birthday. She said, "I don't want a big surprise party. I just want to get away for a little bit." So she's letting me go with her. So that's pretty cool. I like her that way. We'll see y'all next Sunday. God bless you. And I can't find